It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with the France. So we're continuing with France. Tonight. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about is the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport, Mass.
Haverhill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com. In Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery, New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93, the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebock Winery, we are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Crusher Park in Montana.
Mammoth Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
Nice opening. You changed it.
That was we dubbed that. We did that one last week for the first time.
Is that the same one as last week? I just listened better, I guess.
Every time we hear it, it sounds something like new.
Yeah, it does. It does.
After another month or so, we'll be going, okay, can we get another one? welcome to All About Wine, everybody, and we're glad you joined us live. And if you listen to us on the archives, we're glad you joined us in the archives as well. If you're listening to us as a free download on iTunes or right here on Blog Talk Radio or some other method, that's great. Welcome to the program where the show is, of course, all about wine. Wine is actually, I keep thinking, Ron is a big celebrity now. He gets recognized everywhere.
yeah, just my voice. Okay, let's get this straight.
People call him and they go.
People look at me. I say something and go, I know that voice.
that's right. And his voice and there was something else I forgot I was going to say. The real star, I think, of the show, unfortunately, it's not myself. It's not Ron. It's wine. So we just like to put wine up on a pedestal and grab a couple of crackers and do some wine tasting right here. On the show. So it's 81 degrees out here. I love it. It's the humidity is only 66%. It's great here in the southwest central Gulf West coast of whatever Florida. And
Florida.
In Florida. And it's just it's getting to that time where we're almost done with the warm weather. And I think they said in 3 days we're at the peak of the hurricane season. So we're getting over that hump as well. And we have three systems out in the tropics, and so we'll be watching those. But right now we're not doing too bad, so it's just a great day this morning, and low humidity and no rain. So how's it going?
It's going well, and that no rain is a big plus too. We've been getting a lot of rain. It's just been an unbelievable amount of rain we've been getting. But
yeah, that little ditch that runs parallel to the road. I don't know what that stupid thing's for. It's like a drainage thing or whatever. But it's still flooded.
Is it?
It's not bad, but it's still you could put a canoe down there and go from driveway to driveway, I guess.
Wow. Well, we've got a moat. We call it the moat in the back of the house, and that's full too. I mean, that's getting up there. So yeah.
Yeah, I have a moat as well. It usually sits next to the couch and it controls the TV and everything else. So, very cool. Great to be back. And we were off for 6.5 days, and we're back.
And we're back.
Every week we go on vacation for 6 days, and here we are.
And then we are back again. Yeah.
Yes.
We just can't think of enough to talk about every day, so we have to do this once a week.
Right. So welcome to the program. If you want to call us live, we'd love to hear from you at 7 p.m. on Thursday, September the 8th, and call us right now, right now. I want you to get on the phone and call us, 646-727-3235. Our first caller will win. I don't know. I'll answer the phone and I'll say hi.
Yeah. So there you go. And this is live. So if we said right now and you're listening on archives, don't call right now.
Get yeah, and it's Monday or something. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay. Got a, yeah, a disclaimer there, so you won't be expecting a prize. Okay.
Right. Yeah, there you go. You're not going to expect one anyway, but I'm just
that's right. Don't expect a prize. We are talking about the Finger Lakes area tonight, and we're supposed to have had a couple of guests. You know, it's funny. I contact wineries in the Finger Lakes area and ask them to join us on the program. I got a response from two, and one of them I tried to call and didn't get an answer, and I emailed and didn't get a response. He didn't give me a phone number. The other one I called, he's going to be joining us in about a half hour. But of all the other areas we called, I expected, really, really expected Finger Lakes to get a big response.
Yeah.
It surprises me a lot that we didn't. I'm going to reserve next week for Finger Lakes again and the rest of New York. So I'm going to go ahead and contact some more wineries in Finger Lakes next week and see if we can't get some more talking because it's a big area.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely.
But
next,
we have any other comments before I start talking about Finger Lakes here?
No, you're good.
Okay. Just wanted to be sure we covered all our bases before we jumped into it. Bus people. I didn't hear too many bus people. Are they there?
Hold on. I was writing next week for Finger Lakes. There we go.
Oh, not too many of them. Such a nice day out there, too. Surprised we don't have more. So.
Yeah, it's very good.
Oh, wow. Finger Lakes, New York. Let's talk about the Finger Lakes, New York. It is an AVA, American Viticulture Area. The Finger Lakes is established in 1982. It was amended in 1987. There is two subregions, Cayuga Lake and Seneca Lake, both AVAs, Cayuga Lake AVA and Seneca Lake AVA. Total area for the Finger Lakes AVA is 2,600,000 acres, big area. The vineyards covers over 11,000 acres. The grapes they produce there are many. I can go on and start naming them all, but it's just like overwhelming, the number of grapes. And there's quite a few of them that are Cornell University grapes that have been made and good for growing in that area. And Cornell is just south of the Finger Lakes area, actually. That is the home of Cornell and Finger Lakes, all right there in the same area. Finger Lakes area is located in the upper western part of the state of New York. It is south of Lake Ontario and east of Buffalo and Lake Erie and north of, obviously, of New York City and that area there. Let me just sum up a little bit about the lake area itself. The Finger Lakes consists of 11 lakes. I mean, this is most of the time when we think of the Finger Lakes area, we think of six, but there are actually 11 lakes in the Finger Lakes area. From east to west, they are called, and I apologize for my mispronunciation because I guarantee you I am going to mispronounce some of these. The first one going from east to west is just north of Syracuse, and excuse me, that is Otesco Lake, O-T-I-S-C-O, Otesco Lake. Otesco Lake is one of the minor Finger Lakes. It's approximately only about 6 miles long, and the drainage flows into Nine Mile Creek and then Lake Ontario. It's a source of water for most of Syracuse, actually. The original name came from an Iroquois Indian name. Next one after that is, and I know I'm going to mispronounce this one, is Skaneateles Lake, and is one of the Finger Lakes in central New York. The name Skaneateles means long lake. Again, in one of the local Iroquoian languages. Most of this area is from the Iroquois Indian tribe, and I will tell a little bit about that in a little bit. It's a rather interesting background for the area. Sennacherib means the roof garden of the lakes. It's a higher altitude than the other Finger Lakes, the highest one, and it's only about 16 miles long, and there's a lot of bogs at the south end of the lake. The surface area is 13.6 square miles, and the average depth is about 315 feet. It is a rather deep lake. Actually, most of the Finger Lakes are rather deep, which really does affect the grape growing and the grape vineyards in that area. Next one in order from east-west is Owasco, A-W-A-S-C-O, and this is the sixth largest lake and the third easternmost of the actual Finger Lakes. Again, when they talk of the Finger Lakes, Owasco is the easternmost. It translated means crossing. The lake is approximately 11 miles long, and the city of Auburn is located at the northern end, which actually drives most of its drinking water from that Owasco Lake. And it's a big recreation area, a big spot for fishing and everything. The deepest point in that lake is 177 feet deep, and it is, again, the first one going from east to west that's actually classified as the Finger Lakes. The next one, Cayuga. Cayuga is actually an AVA itself. It is the a sub-AVA within the Finger Lakes area from the Finger Lakes AVA. That was established in 1988, about 6 years after the original Finger Lakes area was produced. They do a lot of the French hybrids, plus a lot of the local grapes in that area. It is the vineyards are usually planted at the higher elevations above the lake surface, up to 800 feet. There's hills up from all these lakes. The steep hillsides and the lake create a lot of unique microclimates for growing, and because of the microclimates and the size of the lake and the steep hillsides, it helps extend the growing season and prevents cold air from settling and producing frost. The Cornell University has done a lot of research around this area, and a lot of plants, or a lot of grapevines have been tested close to Cayuga Lake, and it is a one of the big wine trails. Cayuga Lake Wine Trail was the first of its kind in New York State. So it has a lot of history and a lot of background to it in that area in Cayuga Lake because it is so large. The lake itself is about a little over 38 miles long. Its average width is only about 1.5 miles is all. It's not very wide at any point. 433 feet deep. The average depth is only 179 feet, though, so it's not a real deep lake. It is rather shallow and a few deep spots on it. Most of these lakes tend toward the north and south ends to be a little bit shallower, but 435 at its deepest. Again, an AVA. Seneca Lake. Seneca Lake is the next lake in the Finger Lakes going east to west, and that also is an AVA. That was established in 1988 also, and that was amended again in 2003. Let me jump back to Cayuga Lake. Cayuga Lake has a total area, Cayuga Lake AVA has a total area of 460 acres, which is rather small, actually. It's not a big AVA, as opposed to Seneca Lake. Seneca Lake has a total area of 204,600 acres, so it is a rather large AVA. Again, the varietals planted there are about the same as are planted around the Cayuga Lake. Approximately 44 wineries located around Seneca Lake. A big lake. And because it's a big lake, there are a lot of wineries around it, up and down Cayuga Lake and Seneca Lake. You can go up one side. Ithaca is located in the south end of Cayuga Lake, and you can go up all the way up one side and down the other and go across, go all the way up one side of Seneca Lake and down the other side there. A lot of wineries located on both these lakes. It's the majority of them of the area. You can probably get over half of all the wineries in the Finger Lakes AVA just in these areas here. There's over 100 wineries located on Seneca Lake now, on both sides of the lake. And there's a lot of little small wineries around the area. The Seneca Lake average depth is, let's see, I just had it here. Let me see if I can find it again. I can't. The lake is 38 miles long. It's second longest of the Finger Lakes, and it is contains roughly half the water of all the Finger Lakes, and so it's a rather large lake. A maximum depth 618 feet. The average depth is 291 feet, so it has a surface area of 42,800 acres, which is rather large. It's the biggest lake up there. So, I believe the deepest lake up there too. The wine viticulture area dates back to the 19th century with the foundation of the Seneca Lake Wine Company. Founded in 1866, first major winery in the area. The modern era of wine production began in the 70s with the establishment of a lot of wineries up in that area and the passage of the New York Farm Winery Act of 1976. And while I mention that, let me jump into that. We've had a couple of references to it from the people we've talked over the last couple of weeks, but the New York Farm Winery Act of 1976 is a law that allows grape growers in New York to establish wineries and sell directly to the public, subject to a maximum of 50,000 gallons annually. All right, so it keeps them from becoming enormous, colossal, big things like you find in California, limiting them at 50,000 gallons annually. In the early 1970s, John Miller of Bomari Winery and John Dyson, Commissioner of Agriculture, put together a plan to help revitalize the New York wine industry, which at the time was not doing well at all. The governor at the time was Hugh Carey, and he signed the plan into law in 1976. This allowed small grower producers to sell directly to consumers. So all these little small people that were growing and making wine can then open up their doors and sell them to people walking down the street, as opposed to having to go through other means, as well as reducing certain fees and providing tax and marketing advantages. It helped promote the wine industry in the state of New York. Originally, the law required farm wineries to sell only to estate-grown wines, but that was amended in 1978. To allow the use of any New York grown grapes in wine sold at a farm winery. In other words, if it were grown in your state, the original law stated that you could only sell it if it was grown by you and your wine. 2 years later, they amended that so that it was any wine from New York grapes can be sold as a from your winery as a farm winery, which opened it up even more. So the New York Farm Winery Act of 1976, amended in 1978, really revitalized the wine industry in New York, got it started again and got it going again. Seneca Lake, big one. Wine trails around Seneca Lake on both sides. If you're going to say one place is the center of it, it would have to be Seneca Lake with Cayuga Lake right next to it there. Those two are basically in the middle of the Finger Lakes areas, and those two are the ones that are really the center of the wine region. The next lake going west is Keuka, I believe, Keuka Lake, K-E-U-K-A, Keuka Lake. It's the only one that's shaped like a Y. All the rest of them are just long, skinny lakes, and Keuka Lake is shaped like a Y. Because of its shape, it's been referred to as the Crooked Lake for years. Keuka means canoe landing in the Iroquois language. So again, my engineer is making noise in the kitchen. Keuka Lake empties into Seneca Lake from a stream. This is the one of the Finger Lakes that dumps into another one. The lake is about 20 miles long and varies in width from a half mile to 2 miles. Not very big. All these lakes, you can stand at these lakes and you can see across them very easily. I mean, there's just, the shoreline is not hidden at all across the lake in the Finger Lakes areas. The length of the shoreline on Keuka Lake is about 60 miles because of the Y shape to it. So it's a little bit different shape. There's the Keuka Lake Wine Trail. There are about 12 wineries on the Keuka Lake Wine Trail. One of them, Hunt Country Winery, and I'm excited about that because actually Hunt is my last name. Hunt Country Winery is gets quite a bit of praise. They don't charge for tastings. It was founded in 1981 by Arthur Hunt and Joyce Hunt, and the property was first purchased by Arthur Hunt's great-great-grandfather in 1803, and it's been farmed continuously by his descendants till the present day. The oldest grapevines in the vineyard were planted in 1904, being the Concord and Niagara varieties. The farm is 1 mile west of Branchport, New York. The soil is a glacially deposited gravelly loam with a small slope, 5-7%. The slope of the land, the quality of the soil, and the climate, and north-south orientation of the rows of grapes together create ideal conditions for the European and French-American varieties. Very popular winery. The Hunt Country is really one of the better-known ones in the area there. Quite a few people have been there and know about it. The current generation of the Hunts took over the farm in 1973. When there were 18 acres of Niagara grapes planted. By 2008, they had over 50 acres, and they probably have more now. They've collaborated with the Cornell Cooperative Extension and to convert some of their desirable varieties to more promising varieties by grafting and controls and stuff like that. So they have worked very closely with Cornell to create grapes that will grow in that area, and removing old rootstock and finding what rootstock will work well in the areas. And so it's old vines planting in the crops, replenish the soil and rootstock and all that. It's cut down in the years and time that it's taken to get things established. The vineyard now produces French varieties of all Blanc, Vignol, Vidal Blanc, and Deschenac, as well as three Cornell University varieties, Cuyahoga White, Horizon, and Valvin Muscat. And also two viniferas are also produced by Hunt Country. It's Riesling and Cabernet Franc. And then they also do the three native varieties, Concord Niagara, which has been there forever, and also Delaware Grape. All these wines yield an average of 4 to 6 tons per acre, which about 5 tons per acre is what most wineries try to keep it at. So these are all right in that range there. And the wine production is average about 12,000 cases a year of the 21 different wines that they produce. And they also do a Vidal ice wine. The Vidal Ice Wine was featured on the Today Show back in 2006, so they've gotten some good press. The Hunt Country also does experimental agricultural techniques. This is something that they've brought out more and more lately. They are partially funded by the USDA SARE, or SARE program, which is I don't know. Mike, you want to look that up? SARE program. USDA SARE, SARE program. I've heard the definition. I can't remember right now. So, this is, they have ivy, English ground ivy planted under and between the rows of the grapes to help reduce the herbicides, need for herbicides and mowing. They use biodiesel from waste grease to power the tractors, along with a small wind turbine for producing electricity, and bat houses to encourage natural insect predators. So, sounds to me like they're getting pretty close to a biodynamic type growing conditions there with some of the stuff that they're playing with and some of the stuff they're doing. But that's Hunt Country Vineyards. They are located, like I say, Keuka Lake and Keuka Lake Wine Trail. Next one, going again east, and this is east and north of Keuka Lake. Keuka Lake tends to be south west of Seneca Lake, is Canandaigua. Canandaigua Lake is the fourth largest of the Finger Lakes, and the city of Canandaigua is located on the northern tip of it. Village of Naples is also a few miles south of the southern tip. It is the first of the major or Finger Lakes coming from east to west. It's going west to east, and it's the last one coming from east to west. The name is derived from the Seneca name spelled variously different ways, which means chosen spot or chosen town. The lake is about 15 and a half miles long. It is approximately 1.5 miles wide and has a shoreline of 35.9 miles. It is about 50% of the surrounding land is in forest. So it's really not developed a whole lot yet. Not a lot of wineries around the area because so much is developed in forest. It's a popular destination for Rochester, New York, as a tourist and recreational area. The area is very big for that. Going west a little bit further, you have, and I'm not sure how, Honeoye, Honeoye, I think it is Honeoye. Honeoye Lake is an Iroquois translated into a lying finger where the finger lies. Most of the lake is within the town of Richmond. It's the second smallest of the Finger Lakes and is located on the west of the major lakes. Minor lakes, even further west, we have some more minor lakes to the west of that, but these are called the Minor Finger Lakes. This is the second of the Minor Finger Lakes. Lake itself is about 4.5 miles long, less than a mile wide, about 0.8 miles wide. And average depth is about 16 feet, not as deep and as wide as the others, but it is, again, because it's in the area of Richmond, it very popular tourist attraction and used as a big recreation lake. Going next lake west is Candace Lake, and it's also one of the Minor Finger Lakes. Its shoreline is only 6.5 miles long. Maximum depth is 95 feet. It is a major water source for Rochester, New York, for pumping for water. No houses are permitted on the shores, and boats are limited to 16 feet in this lake with only a 10 horsepower engine. It's very big for swimming, camping, and all that, but you have to get a permit to use in that lake for any of that stuff. And a permit's required to do any type of fish or put any boat on the lake or anything. Very, very protective of this little small lake, but that's Canada's lake. And then going even further west, we have Hemlock Lake. And again, one of the minor lakes. It's located in Livingston County, south of Rochester. It is 7 miles long, about a half mile wide. It's almost true north-south configuration. It has a surface area of 18,000 acres, or 1,800, I said 1,800 acres, and a maximum depth of 91 feet with an average of 45 feet. This also is a very restricted lake for boats and outboard motors and all that stuff. It is one of the big features of this lake, though. It is a home of landlocked salmon, and also it's a great fishery for rainbow trout, brown trout, lake trout, smallmouth bass, largemouth bass, rock bass, yellow perch, and white crappie. Sounds fantastic if you're a fisherman. That is just, you know, all those are great. I've caught all those, and they're good, fun fish to catch. And then the last of the Finger Lakes going east to west is Conesus. I believe it's Conesus, C-O-N-E-S-U-S, Conesus. It's one of the minor lakes and is westernmost of the 11 total Finger Lakes. The lake's outlet is Lakeville, New York. It has maximum width of about 8 miles, maximum depth of about 66 feet, although its average is much less than that. It is, it's been contaminated, and it's been the disease, it was diseased back in 2006, and it got a strain of what they call a viral hemorrhagic septicomia. And it was an infectious fish disease and called mass dying of fish, and spread through some of the smaller lakes and stuff like that. So it is one that does freeze over solidly, and it's used for snowmobiling and ice fishing every year. 11 lakes, east to west. Those are most of them. The area of the Finger Lakes is basically from the Indian, Iroquois Indian. The Iroquois wanted to save it. They didn't like the Europeans coming in here. During the Revolutionary War, they did a lot of battling. Half of them chose to fight for the Americans, and half of them chose to fight for the British, and this created a civil war between the Iroquois. It all was for naught, because after the Civil War, they basically just put everybody on reservations up there. The European settlements moved west, so that pretty much took care of it. And then by the mid-1800s, wineries started to pop up in that area. So that's just a quick synopsis. We should be getting our guest on here pretty soon.
Yeah, I was just going to you asked something about the SARE, S-A-R-E.
Right.
And I found information. This particular area, actually Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Vermont, West Virginia, and Washington, D.C. are in the Northeast SARE, which is the Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education program. It offers competitive grants for new ideas in farming that improve profits, stewardship, and the vibrancy of farm communities. And so they do all kinds of I'm on their, actually the website is NESARE.org, and they have all kinds of information for this particular area. But there's a nationwide SARE, and this particular the Northeast is located at the University of Vermont in Burlington. And they have all kinds of information in there as far as how to get a grant and about the organization, the projects, and everything. So,
wow.
Yeah, definitely. It's a big operation. So,
yeah, I didn't realize that. I've heard of Sarah before, but I didn't realize it was that big. I think we might have run across that while we were talking about some other wineries, and I didn't realize it covered that big of an area.
All right. Give me a couple minutes. I'll go get our guest. I'll be right back.
Sounds good. Okay. We have a guest tonight from I guess I better go and find where he's from and all that before I start talking about him, hadn't I? I mean, that would be nice to know to know who we're talking to here tonight. It is, and I will let you know here in a second. I was talking about the other stuff, and I didn't get an opportunity. Oh, that's not what I want here. It is, he's going to be on the line, and I'm still not going to be able to tell you who he is and what he is. Yes, I can now. This is, we're going to have Bill Heary from Dill's Run Winery. Dill's Run is actually a rather young winery. It was opened in 2008, and it has been around for a short time. I called Bill today, and Bill wasn't at home. Bill was in Massachusetts, and I told Bill, hey, we can still talk to you for a little bit about the winery and all that. We would love to be able to, if you don't mind talking while you're out of town or on vacation or wherever you happen to be. And he says, sure, not a problem. So Bill is joining us from, I believe, Massachusetts. Let me see what we got here. Bill, you there? Nope, not quite. Mike is still trying to get him. It looks like he does have him. We just need to get him into the phone here. But Dill's Run Vineyard is located in Aurora, New York. And so we're let me see if he's got him here. Wow, it looks like he's got him in the green room, but we need to get him out of the green room and onto the microphone. So we'll be doing that in a second. Back to the Iroquois Indians had basically developed the area and was very protective of the Finger Lakes area back when the European settlers came over, and they tried to hang on to it. A lot of the names from that area, and actually through that part of the country and into Canada and all that, are from the Iroquois. They were the biggest ones there. Some of them didn't fight so seriously against the European settlers. Others didn't like it at all. But I guess that's the way with any groups coming in. But they finally, after everything was said and done, and Civil War was over, the European settlers started to come in more. It wasn't so much moving east out of the New York and coast as it was moving north up from Pennsylvania and moving them out and shoveling them out and putting them into reservations and stuff. So, Mike, I noticed you're in the hold. Looks like we lost Bill.
Oh, I thought I was on there. Okay, because I'm sitting there going, yeah, it's me, you know.
Yeah, you were walking out of the green room and hadn't made it out here yet.
Apparently there was a lot of noise. I tried three or four times, and I got voicemail, and then finally on my last persistent call, because I'm annoying like that, he answered, and he said he's in a meeting. He asked me how long he would not be required to talk, but how long did they usually talk, and I said, well, you know, it could be 15, 20 minutes maybe, you know, depending on how much you wanted to say. And he says, well, I have less than 5 minutes. And I said, and he goes, can I reschedule for tomorrow? And I said, well, we're on next Thursday. And he says, well, can I do it next Thursday? So he can't this evening, unfortunately. So we'll definitely connect with him next Thursday, and we'll bring him on. And so we'll have him, you know, he said he's really pressed on this meeting.
Well,
and I can hear noise in the I can hear noise in the background, and so yeah, we'll definitely connect with him next time, unfortunately.
Well, that's cool. I mean, you know, he's going with it. But Dill's Run Vineyard, well, Bill would tell us all about it next week, but Dill's Run Vineyard is located along the east side of the Cuyahoga Lake on scenic New York State Route 90 in the lovely town of Ledyard. I believe it's pronounced Ledyard or Ledyard. They have 15.5 acres, 15 minutes from Auburn, 35 minutes from Ithaca, and 25 minutes from Seneca Falls. So they're pretty centrally located. I won't tell you a whole lot about it because Bill's going to be joining us next week. They have a bed and breakfast that is part of their operation there. And they have well, quite a few interesting wines. Black Dog, Concord Dry, Concord Semi-Dry, Cataz, C-A-T-A-Z. We'll have to find out what that is. Catawba, Riesling, Semi-Dry Riesling, Chardonnay, Simply Chardonnay. Pinot Noir, Syrah, Pinot Grigio, Spring Mist, a Gewurztraminer, Chancellor, and an Elderberry. And reasonably priced, too. So, next week, we will look forward to talking to Bill and having him tell us about the wines at Dill's Run Vineyard. Again, he told me they've only been in operation since 1988, so they are a young winery, so it should be fun to see how they're doing. We've talked to some wineries that are just getting started, and we've talked to some that have been in existence, like the
Brotherhood.
Brotherhood, thank you.
Yeah.
That's been in existence for years. So it's always fun to talk to ones that are a little bit different, short term and stuff like that.
Yeah, Brotherhood went back to 1839. I have America's Oldest Winery.
Yeah.
We talked to Caesar there. That was an interesting show.
That was. We got in 1839. I mean, I was just explaining about the Iroquois Indian there and how they were doing it. But 1839, opening up a winery in that region there, by that time they'd already rounded up the Iroquois and put them in reservations in that area. So that was pretty much done. I mean, most of the influx of people came from Pennsylvania, not from the east so much as just directly from the south, and it filled populated the area there. More about the Finger Lakes region. I mean, while we're here, let me go on. There's a couple of things I wanted to say about it. The largest Finger Lake in New York and its depth. That would be Seneca Lake at 618 feet. The smallest Finger Lake in New York in its depth, that's Honeyoy. Honeyoy is, like I say, very rather shallow on its depth. It was, I think, 112 feet was or something like that. And Seneca Lake, as far as area, is the largest in area at over 43,000 acres and at 618 feet deep. The names of the six major Finger Lakes going from west to east, Canandaigua, Cuyahoga, Seneca, Cayuga, Owasco, and Skaneateles. Those are the big ones. And then we talked about a lot of the little small ones and stuff like that. I just went through the little small ones, but those were the big ones. Back to the Finger Lakes area and the wine and all that in the area. It's the largest Finger Lakes is the largest wine producing region for New York and one of the largest in the world. For a concentration of wines in an area there. There's over 100 wineries and vineyards located around the lakes. Because of the lake's depth, they provide a lake effect to the vineyards that grew up on the shores. And this is what's so important about this lake effect. We I have been talking to people from Lake Ontario, and we have found a lot how the lake effect has really affected those counties up there. You go around to Buffalo, New York, and we hear about how they're getting, you know, 15 feet of snow in the winter and stuff like that. But then you go 30, 40 miles over to the shores of Lake Ontario, and they don't get below zero. Again, the lake effect is very important. So this is what's so important about the Finger Lakes area, is the lake effect. The lake effect is produces a cooler atmospheric condition because of the lake itself, and especially the depth. The deeper the lakes, the less likely you're going to have real cold temperatures come off it, because it keeps some temperatures. And the warmer lake water provides energy by picking up the water vapor, which freezes and deposits on the shores. But the same effect over bodies of salt water is called an ocean effect, or the sea effect, or even a bay or sound effect. Those are extreme cases. Lake effect snow is a good example. Is the again, Buffalo area, the Buffalo region. It picks up the moisture coming from the lakes and dumps it back down onto the land mass right off the lake. But the Finger Lakes area tends to be sheltered from that. There's enough elevation, and there's enough dips and valleys and stuff that the snow really doesn't dump that much into the Finger Lakes area. Buffalo, as much as I'm looking at different things here, and 2001, from December 24th to December 28th in 2001, Buffalo got 82.3 inches of snow in those 4 days. That is all from the lake effect. But the lake effect doesn't just dump snow. The lake effect also does the opposite. It can protect the areas right around it because it will keep it warm. It will moderate the temperatures. So if you have vineyards running up the hills, the microclimates coming from the lake will keep it moderate so that you can have earlier frost and be done with them. And also it will moderate it toward the end of the year, so you will not have you will have a later season for frost. It will keep it warmer and more temperate deeper into the season, which gives you an ability to grow grapes that do take longer to grow. It actually retains the summer warmth into the winter, and the winter's cold in the spring hangs on a little bit, but the grapes are protected from the disastrous frost and early frost in the fall before the harvest. Main varieties in the Finger Lakes area of grapes are Chardonnay, Riesling, Gewurztraminer, Pinot Noir, Cabernet Franc, Verdell Blanc, Sauvignon Blanc, and many of the Vitis Labrusca, which the Concords and we did a program on grapes a couple years back now. we talked about the Vitis Labrusca grapes and stuff like that, and they also grow in this area. I just covered the New York Farm Winery Act. Because of such a temperate area here, they are a great area to visit and grow all the grapes and all that. I think they should concentrate more on the Riesling grape. The New York Finger Lakes area can make one of the most phenomenal Rieslings in the world if they concentrate on it. I think they try to concentrate on way too many different types of grapes, personally, instead of making a name for themselves with a grape like the Riesling, or even the Gewurztraminer, are different grapes like that. Even the, and they got the capabilities. The Cabernet Franc grows well up there too, and that's something else that they probably should concentrate on. But they choose to do everything they can possibly put in the ground, and so yeah, that's my only complaint about the about this area up here. The let's see, I had a map here. Finger Lakes area, coming out of New York, New York City, Interstate 81 takes you north, takes you right up to Syracuse. Syracuse is on the eastern side of the Finger Lakes area. If you were to go down to, well, before you get as far as Syracuse, you can take any number of the roads, which will start taking you right up into the Finger Lakes area. There are lots of smaller roads, lots of smaller highways, smaller towns. State Route 175 is one that takes you across the northern part of the Finger Lakes areas. The Federal Route 20 also is in that area. There's just a bunch of smaller highways and roads that wind all around there, and you can pretty much get just about anywhere you want to go in that area because of all the smaller roads. There's lots of state parks and game reserves. Cornell University is right in that area in the southern part of the Finger Lakes area. Ithaca, big city of Ithaca is there. It's just a lot of stuff in the Phoenix area. I will try to call some more wineries and see if we can't get it. The New York State Thruway is on the northern part of the Finger Lakes area. That's I-90. It runs out of Syracuse, northern Syracuse area, and across the northern part of it. So there's lots. It's easy enough to get to the Finger Lakes area. And then while you're there, I mean, I would go on over Rochester and head on up to the Lake Ontario area and see some of the wineries up in that area. It is, looking up Finger Lakes area, it's just there's a lot of wineries there, a lot of stuff, just the microclimates, and each of them has their own unique microclimate, wherever the vineyard is and all that. There's also a very big Army depot between Lake Seneca and Lake Cayuga. So if you've ever been stationed up there in all that area also. Let's see. It's, I thought we were going to have a guest speaker here. I wasn't prepared to talk for an hour.
You're doing really good. I was thinking, you know, you prepare, you're like, okay, well, we'll have this guest on for this time, and okay, well, then I'll just come up with this, and, you know. And then when you have to do emergency fill-in like you did, I mean, that's amazing. I would just sit here and say, okay, let's all twiddle our thumbs for 30 minutes. Because, you know, just,
well,
wow,
we can always fall back on HR 1161.
Yes.
HR 1161 has been brought up again. Congress is back in session. Because Congress is back in session, we got the little people out there trying to do their little thing, because not everybody can be involved in the big stuff. And some of the little people trying to do their little thing is trying to reactivate this HR 1161. Now, they're getting a lot of people signing up on the email to send to the congressman. And there is, you know, SaveTheGrapes.org has been excited about what's been going on with that. They are very happy about the number of people that have been signing up for it, and they're very happy about the reactions. But again, it takes lots of people. So HR 1161, if you're not familiar with it, it is a problem looking to find a reason to happen. It will basically stop shipping from small wineries, small breweries, and small spirits manufacturers in this country. and create a whole new bunch of problems. So if you have not contacted your representative yet, it is very easy to do so. You can go on to, well, let's see. We don't have it on All About Wine. We have it on our
Facebook page.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Yeah, we got Free the Grapes on All About Wine BTR. That's our Facebook page. All About Wine BTR. Become a fan, and but you can always or like us or whatever they say now. I don't think there's fan. I think they like. You have to like us now. Become a fan, and on the left hand side, Free the Grapes. There is a little icon there, Free the Grapes. You can click on that, and when you click on that, it will pop up a bunch of stuff there for that site, and then you can go to, let's see, where's the Stop 1161? It's not here.
There was a, I don't know about Stop 1161, but I know Free the Grapes was on there.
Yeah, well, Free the Grapes on there. I'll tell you. I'll tell you what we'll do. It's on Florida Estates Winery's page. I will put a link as soon as the program's over. We will stick a link up here for Stop 11 HR 1161. There is a link for that, and we will do that. We will get this link up here for Stop 1161, and all you need to do on that, and once you see that link, for any of you out there who are going to do that. Let's see, I've got it up here and I don't see it. Boy, okay, see all, here we go. Thing was.
And that's stop1161.org?
Let me see, I'll pull it up in a second.
Yeah.
Okay. It says stop1161. It's on Facebook, it just Stop HR 1161. We'll put a link of this up on the All About Wine BTR website. And then that way you can keep up with it. If you get that Stop 1161, you can click on different things here. You can sign a petition. You can see what other people are saying. This 1161, people are letting you know what's going on with this. It's the organization Save the Grapes is the brains behind this, and they're constantly letting you know what's happening and who has what states have changed the rules and what states haven't and how things are going. Stop 1161. The latest comment, July 13th. Okay, that's as of yesterday. 1161 has 95 co-sponsors. Let me see the latest comment here. We're still back in July 19th. This is a comment, but 1161, the founding fathers' desire to create a single economic union. There's all sorts of stuff here, all about 1161. Stop it. I mean, you know, really, if you don't understand it, there's all sorts of things you can click on, and it'll give you information about it. This page is a great page, but just in your search engine, whatever one you want to use, type in HR 1161, 1161. It's the Support Free and Fair Trade in Wine. It's the CARE Act, actually, is what it's called, the CARE. And when you ask the C1161, be sure you get the current one, because they can use same numbers. If a bill has died a couple years later, they can come out and use that same number again. So be sure you get the current 1161 if you're looking it up. But serious stuff here, people. If you get wine shipped to you and you want to continue to get wine shipped to you, if you like boutique breweries, if you like the little small brewery that is operating in the outskirts of Chicago and you want a six-pack shipped to you, this could stop that. If you like your spirits and little small places that make spirits and stuff like that are all over this country, and they ship around. If you want to continue that, you need to stop this 1161.
Yeah.
So that's I'm done speaking.
Yeah, you said Congress was back in session, and I came up with a little thing, so that means very little is being done for the country. So
that's true. That's true. Yeah.
They're just going to be meeting and, you know, doing whatever they do, and we'll see what happens. And voting on things like this. Now, I'm wondering, and I don't know if we can come up with an answer for next week, but if for some reason this got passed, would this make the New York Farm Winery Act, would that null and void that out? I mean, would it say that no longer exists?
I don't think so, because what the 1161 is going to do is it's going to start throwing this stuff back into the state levels and having to have this stuff shipped. You know, it's going to limit shipping across state lines, and it's going to limit shipping in a lot of areas and stuff like this. But the New York Farm Winery Farm Act basically states that they can sell directly to the public.
Yeah.
So it's not going to affect that law so much. It will affect a lot of them that are in place in a lot of states, and a lot of them that are being changed and challenged all the time. I mean, it will just put a screeching halt to a lot of that.
Yeah, when you go to freethegrapes.org, they have that map, and it'll show you all the restrictions. And there's quite a few restrictions in the states across the country. They're not all on the same page, I guess. And this is just gonna, I don't know. It's definitely want to go against HR 1161. So keep that in mind, listeners. We have quite a few of you listening, and we definitely want to have that. You know, if we can all get on board and everything, and get the letters out. It's real simple to do, and put a stop to it. So
this puts it in perspective here. It says, you know, the alcohol wholesalers introduced this. They got this bill introduced, and you know, it benefits them and it hurts the consumers and wineries and the retailers.
Yeah.
To understand, you consider the fact that the alcohol wholesalers has spent over $82 million since 2006 to get bills like this introduced and passed.
Yeah.
$82 million for influence, for contributions that they have put for federal lobbying, that, you know, the wine, beer, and spirits industry just can't beat. This can't come anywhere near.
Mm-hmm.
It's frightening. That's why we need all of us out there to get a hold of our congressman and say, hey, if you like your cushy job and if you like your cushy retirement, then you will vote against this law because we like our beer and wine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, all right.
All right. Okay. It's I've got 8:01 on the clock, and we have information coming up for the Wine Fest this Saturday. And let me go back and make sure we have it's the same time, right? So 11 to, yeah. That hasn't changed yet. Okay.
Nope.
So for some reason, I thought that was just a test at one point, but looks like a good time slot. Saturday, September the 10th is Wine Fest, and we'll be right back in about a minute or so.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flewn.com. That's corp@flewn.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
All right.
Very good.
Easy, easy directions to get to, located 4 miles west of Interstate 75. Take exit 285, go 4 miles, and you'll see the signs for Florida State's Winery on State Route 52. You'll see it there. Or go 10.5 miles east of the Suncoast Parkway. That's our toll road that runs north and south. You'll go east about 10.5 miles on State Route 52, and you'll see the winery signs there. And you go just a real short distance up the road there, and you'll see the winery. And also 21 miles east of US 19 on State Route 52. That'll take you there as well. And Florida State's Winery, 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Set your GPS and head on out there. Not now because it's dark and
we're very close.
But, yeah. You sit out there in the middle of nowhere and, you know, wait for it.
Yeah, just wait until we open tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, sometimes you just have to say it. Anyway, world-class wines and a neat gift shop and everything there, and those wonderful oak trees in the back just make it a always a great day to go out to the winery and enjoy your time there. And what do we have?
And sign up for All About Wine BTR on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there, like us on Facebook. We're trying to get 25 people signed up. We're trying to become legitimate so we can get ourselves a post there. We got 20, so if you're out there listening, click on it.
Yep. Yeah. And your producer or somebody just posted an update on the Facebook status.
I did.
Wow, that's impressive. While we're doing the show.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
well,
odd.
While we were doing the comments on the market.
Well,
on the festival.
Wonderful. Excellent. Okay, because I got it on my. I heard my cell phone go off, and I checked my cell phone, and there's a new message from All About Wine BTR. Okay, so
wow,
see,
cool.
You get on. Yeah, I get that all the time. Every time you update it, I could be anywhere, and my phone beeps, and I have a new SMS message with a update to All About Wine. So
that's cool.
That's a great way to stay tuned with the show and what's happening on All About Wine and our guests and everything is to like us on Facebook and stay up to date that way. And I mean, look at it. He just typed it, and I already have it on my cell phone.
Oh, I do want to cover one thing here, which is completely not about wine.
Uh-oh.
But is Marianne listening in the background?
No.
Hi, Marianne.
No.
She's not?
I don't think so.
Well, she is. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marianne. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, it is live. I forgot. We're still live.
Yeah. So I just wanted to wish her. I didn't post it to her, but I did. I didn't want to forget. So
okay. Thank you. All right. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I'll have to mention that. So when I get back there. Excellent. Okay. It is 8:06, and I guess we are.
We're done.
We're done. Okay.
We didn't get our guest tonight. We apologize if you tuned in for New York Finger Lakes guests. We will have them next week, but didn't
Apparently
happen.
They're
today.
Very busy. Yeah, they're very busy.
They may be.
Lakes,
they may
so.
Be harvesting or maybe doing stuff. So you know.
Yeah, it's about that time. All right. Thank you all. Thank you all for listening. And Ron, as always, thank you. It was very informative. And
thank
of course, you did excellent of filling in for the whole time and doing an hour. It's a rare thing, seems like lately. But when you jump right in there, as always, and. Got everything through, so very cool, and we'll see everybody next week. Thank you all, and join us at 7 p.m. on September the 15th. That'll be next Thursday, Eastern time, for the live show, and we'd love to have you join us right here on air with us at All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you all. Have a great week, and we'll see you all next Thursday. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. Excellent job, as always, on your part, too. Thank you.
Well, I didn't do anything, but, you know. Football tonight, isn't it? Oh, my God.
That's NFL right. Football. It's football. We need to get off and go watch football.
I guess so. All right. It's NFL, whenever it is. Okay.
That's right. I need to be sure my picks are good, too. I need to do that before. I probably should have done it before the game started.
Yeah. That would be.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All right.
Thank
we'll
you
all
for listening.
Thank
see you next week.
Thanks a lot. Good day. Have a good week. Thank you.